This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis coming out to again at this time, riding old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. Some of you may be hearing me for the first time. Maybe you know nothing about the old Trailblazer. Well, I'm the pastor here at Radio Missions, where Pastor L.R. Shelton was a pastor for many, many years, First Baptist Church of Algiers in New Orleans, Louisiana. And he was the old Trailblazer. He's an old circuit rider. He depicted himself as an old circuit rider with his saddlebag behind his saddle and an old trusty rifle in his scabbard there. And he had his Bible under his arm and his old felt hat on and slicker tied behind his saddle. And so he's gone on to be with the Lord now. And I have many of his cassette tapes. If you'd like to have a few of them, you write me. I'll send you two or three of them complimentary and let you listen to him. But the Lord laid on my heart to pick up this broadcast several years ago, and the Lord is blessing it, sending out the message day after day, time after time. And we're not a circuit rider, no. We're just an old country boy the Lord's picked up and saved. And give me grace to come here and tell that old story of how Christ died for sinners. Before we go get started, I want to give you my email address. It's pastor@radiomissions.org. And then my website is radiomissions.org, and there you can go. We're live streaming our broadcast every Sunday from 10 to 11, 11 to 12. You can pick it up there on your internet, and also on Sunday night at 6:30 and Wednesday night 6:30 and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. You can hear live broadcast over your internet. You go there to our homepage, radiomissions.org, and pull up your live streaming. If you have a problem with it, write me, let me know, or call me, and I'll help you with it, or get someone to. And remember, that's the radiomissions.org. And then, if you would, sit down and write me, let me know. I have folks write me. I had a lady call me last night from way up in Indiana, going to Oregon, and going to be able to hear the message up there. I have folks in Northern Ireland, in the UK over there in England, and they hear the Trailblazer. I don't know what time of night they hear it because of the time different, but they hear it. So you do that. Would you do that? And then pray for me and help me with the broadcast. We're able to go on some new stations now if we had the financing. But we're looking at the 11th chapter of Hebrews there, and we were looking yesterday in our last study of how when the Lord comes there after the reign of the Antichrist, and folks won't have it. Men live in a fool's paradise who speak of God, of the God of the Bible, as being a God who will not punish sin. That's one of the prevalent things that we have today, that men do not believe that God is going to punish sin. Brother, your sins are either to be punished in a substitute, Christ, or punished in your own body there in hell. Now, you don't hear that, do you? You don't hear anybody talking about hell. Oh, no. Foo-foo. Don't talk about hell. Don't talk about hell. No. 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 I had a lady ask me to conduct a funeral one time, and she said, all you want to do, Pastor, is say some funny things about this individual when he was a young boy. You knew him back then. I said, no, I can't do that. I have to be true to God's word. But listen, thank God one day. Would you do that? Thank God. One day on the cross of Calvary, my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, paid the old Trailblazer sin debt. Go there and read Romans 5:8 and then Isaiah 53:5. The stroke intended for me fell upon his blessed head, upon his blessed back. The thorn crown was pushed down upon his brow, and the wrath of God that was meant for me fell on Christ. Was that something forced upon him? No, he went there willingly. He knew what was. I often tell folks, when Christ came to this earth, lived here those 33 years, he knew exactly what the cross meant. He knew where he was going. He knew of the scourging. He knew of the plucking of his beard and all of those things. He knew of that. Listen, as he hugged me there on the cross to his bosom, bent over me, he bore the wrath of God in his own body on the tree in my place. This is the greatest eternal truth that I've ever learned. Have you ever learned that, my friend? I could sit here behind this microphone and tell you of the suffering of our blessed Lord, based on my own little bit of knowledge that I have, how that he was scourged there. And first of all, he was ridiculed from the time he was able to get out and amongst the people. He was made fun of. And then, as he went to the cross there, first of all, to Pilate's court, how that he was ridiculed. And they asked him, said, if you be the Christ, come down, save thyself and save us. And then he was taken there, and his back was bared of his clothing, and they stripped him off, and they took the cat of nine tails, those thongs with that metal, sharp metal in each end, cat tails, and they thronged his body till his visage was marred. And then they carried him on down, and he was taken before Herod and taken before Pilate. All of those places, my friend, he suffered. And then they carried him out to the Golgotha's hill. One place said he carried his own cross, and they lay him on it. They laid him on it and nailed him with three or four spiked nails in his hands and in his feet. And they raised that thing up and dropped it in that socket. Oh, but listen, my friend, this substitutionary death of Christ is the greatest thing that ever happened. You can call it a doctrine if you want to. Folks deny that Christ died as a substitute. They say he was a good man. He was a prophet, but he was not the Son of God. No, my friend, listen. Laugh about blood redemption if you want to. Scoff at it if you will. But you got another laugh coming, my friend. You know there won't be no laughter in hell. Won't be no laughter in hell. Won't be no cool drink of water there. Won't be no Bud Light, Miller Light, no other kind of light there. No, because it's a place of outer darkness. Outer darkness. And I understand that there's no bottom there. It'll be falling, 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 and screaming. Oh, yes, my friend. The wrath is indeed waiting in this day of grace. The Lord is holding back this day of grace. But it says here in this verse, thy wrath is come. And in another place, the wrath of the Lamb is come. Who shall be able to stand? According to Revelation 6. Brother, the only individual who will stand is the one who has been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Think, man. Think, my woman. Think, my friend. I'm pleading for your soul. The old Trailblazer is not some kook. He's not someone that's on this radio to make a name for himself. He's not after anything you have. He never asked you for a nickel or a penny. No, sir. We don't have no silver cathedrals and long city buses and condos in the mountains of Colorado and have those retreats and go out there and have those parties and all of that stuff. And no, we don't have that. We don't have speaking in tongues and hoorahing and hallelujah and all that jumping around. No, we don't have that. You know what we do? We have the simplicity of Christ. We preach Christ as a substitute for man. Man is a sinner. You and I come into this world, come on this earth, come out of our mother's womb as a sinner. Oh, you don't believe that, do you? Yes, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. There is none righteous, no, not one. No, not one, my friend. Listen now, the wrath of the Lamb is come, and who shall be able to stand? Brother, let me repeat, the only individual who will stand is the one who has been redeemed. Think with me, I'm pleading for your poor soul. Turn, will you do that? Turn while the day of grace is still here and a day of reprieve? No, as it is as in the days of Noah, when God is still long-suffering and the scepter of grace is extended to you. Have I mentioned that lately, the scepter of grace? You remember there when Queen Esther was told to go into the king by Mordecai to try to express her desire for a favor from the king? She said, I can't go in there. He'll have me killed if I go in there. He said, well, you better go, because you're one of us. He'll kill all of us and kill you too. So she dressed herself in her best garments and put on her best perfume and went in to see the king. And there he was on the throne, and he kept the scepter there by the throne, and he held out that scepter. She didn't know what he would do, but I can tell you, this day, today, tonight, whatever time you hear me, the Lord has that scepter of grace in His right hand, and He'll hold it out to you in this day. But one day there'll be no more grace. One day there'll be no more mercy. Oh, won't that be a sad day? Now listen, we come now to the third result, as set forth in the 18th verse of the 11th chapter of Revelation. And the time of the dead, that should be judged. Appoint unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Every individual has an appointment with death, and brother, you're going to keep that appointment. Did you know the day you're born, you start to die? Oh, we have folks who live a long time now, some 90 to 100 years old. Some died young, teenagers and all, but it's appointed. That's God's appointment, not mine. Acts 17:30 says, God has appointed a day of judgment. And this is another day or another appointment you're going to keep, whether you want to or not. You may say, I don't believe in the resurrection. Oh, my friend, let me call you my friend. You out there, sit up and listen, would you? Take time out to listen. Listen, stop playing the fool. You say, well, don't call me a fool. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, no God, or there is no God. But my friend, you know that there's a God. So stop playing the fool. Will you do that for me? There is a resurrection day, and you know it. Oh, listen, your conscience tells you that there is a resurrection. You may say, I don't believe there's a God. Stop playing the fool. I had a man call me, wrote me a letter the other day. His first sentence was, I'm an atheist. Did you know there'll be no atheist in hell? They'll lose all that atheism before they die. No. When you stand at the great bar of justice, you won't be an atheist. No, listen. You may say, I don't believe there's a God, but I ask you again, stop playing the fool. When you get up in the morning, go out on your front porch in the early morning hours when the sun's coming up, look out over the horizon and you see that great red ball of fire. That's the sun. Who made it? God made it. Look at the beautiful stars at night out there twinkling in the stratosphere. Who made them? God made them. You didn't make them. No, nature didn't make them. They didn't bump together and start doing that. God spoke them into existence. Just like he did all of the elements of this world. Just like he did Adam and Eve. He spoke them into existence. And he took the dirt of the ground. Old Adam was just an old dirt. Just old dirt. That's all he was. And the Lord formed a man out of him. He made him two legs and two arms and two eyes and two ears and all of those things. And there he was, just a dead sinner. Just a dead individual. No, he was not a sinner because he hadn't sinned yet. But he was just a hunk of clay, dead. But the scripture says he breathed the breath of life into him. And he became a living soul. He became a living soul. That's what you are. A living soul, my friend. One day, you will die. One day, the breath will leave your body. When your heart stops beating three times, it skips three beats, you'll be in eternity. You won't be looking for mama and papa. You won't be looking for anyone. If you know the Lord, you'll be looking for him who died for you, took your place as a poor old sinner. Shed his precious blood, made a covering of blood. The little boy said, teacher, I know one thing the Lord can't see, and that's my sin, because it's under the blood. But I praise the Lord for this time together with you folks. I want to give you my mailing address again quickly. It's the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Would you write me and tell me that you're hearing me? I'm on some new stations now. And then there's some stations that I haven't heard from lately. We may have to take off the air. Would you help me with the broadcast there if you want to hear this Old Trailblazer? Well, you may say, well, I don't believe a thing you say. But my friend, it's the truth. It's God's Word. I don't use anything but the King James Version Bible. And I'll be glad to back up anything I say with the Scripture. Would you write me and let me know if you're listening out there somewhere in the bend of the creek or the forks of the road up there in Appalachia, wherever you are. And remember my mailing address, the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye and God bless you.